In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, what are you going to do when God asks you to go somewhere that you really don't want to be? The call into the ministry is not easy, even when you get it directly from God. A lot of the prophets and apostles came up with excuses. There were very few volunteers. The only one I can remember who really volunteered was Isaiah, and you know what happened to him. He got his lips blasted off. Moses talked about thick lips. Paul got his vision blasted away. And then there was this Jonah, mottled, bleached, coming back from serving as fish bait. And then there's you. What are you going to do when God calls you to somewhere you don't want to go? This Jonah was a courageous fellow. Absolutely unbelievable how much courage this guy had. It was not out of weakness that he declined his call to go to Nineveh. It was rather a strong, deep theology, a deep theological conviction that God was a merciful God who was long-suffering and turned away from the punishment that people deserved. It was all right for God to be that way for Jonah, but when it came to everyone else, Jonah believed that to be the case, but he didn't like it. And even after he was risen from the grave, he still was a courageous one, not to put up with any guff from God. Sometimes we're our worst enemies. I think of a time when I volunteered to do mission work. It was over 25 years ago. I volunteered for a summer vicarage that Professor Otto Hinze arranged with Herman Gunkel in Miami. And this involved going to the public library, writing down names and addresses, block by block, and then visiting block by block. And it was a pretty neat experience because many of the people had just seen the movie with Spanish subtitles by the charlatan charlatan archaeologist who came up with the movie Chariots of the Gods. And so they were very happy to see somebody from the church and asked me, did Ezekiel really see a flying saucer? I didn't have to ask them questions to get them interested in the Bible. They were asking me. A great opportunity to proclaim the law and gospel in Christ to them. Now, one of the tactics that I used was to take a little paperback Good News Bible called Dios Llega Hombre. And my line of introduction would be to ask them, did they have a Bible that they could read? And many of them had these big old Reina editions that are more archaic than King James. You know, they wouldn't understand it. And so I would offer them this Bible and offer to read it with them, which we would do. And then I would offer to come back every week and have a family Bible class, which was a pretty effective way of doing things, and then to bring them into the church. And on my trek through the Cuban and Puerto Rican section of town, I discovered that the basic alarm system was to have about 2 to 6 German Shepherd killer dogs, and that it was very important to observe the beware of dog sign on the fence, on the gate. Well, it gets interesting. What I discovered, my trick was to rattle the gate and the whistle, and if any dog came out, and usually it was like Chihuahua or a French poodle or something like that. So I was rather brash about this. One day, And I found that I could meet the most people from around 1 to 2 o'clock siesta time. I found more people home at that time than any other time. Well, this was a particularly hot, scorching day in Miami. I came across a home that had beautiful, lush grass, the palm trees, just idyllic setting. The gate had a sign, "Beware of the dog," and there was a huge, long walk between the gate and the house. I followed my usual technique as to rattle the gate and whistle for the dog and so forth. Nothing. So I said, well, oh, nothing gained, nothing lost. So, you know, I'll just go up and ring the doorbell. It was not a typical setting. Someone answered, said, asked Tito, go get the door, see who was there. And so I introduced myself and so on. And the voice from within told Tito, open it up and let him come in. The scene I found myself in was something like you saw on Miami Vice. The gentlemen there, about seven or eight of them, dressed in very fine clothing, and the one who had directed the Tito to open up was sitting at the head of the table and was referred to as Don Miguel. Don Miguel asked me, how did you get here, in Spanish? And I told him, well, there was no buzzer at the gate, so I just walked on and punched the button. No, he said, no, how did you get here? Vivo. Alive. Then he asked Tito, who obviously was his right-hand man and bodyguard, to check on the dogs. And he came back a few moments later and said, well, the dogs are, están durmiendo, they're sleeping. And by this time, Don Miguel had asked me what I was doing and so forth and whatever. Then he whistled for the dogs, and they came. And they really, these dogs were not acting. These were bloodthirsty killer Doberman pinchers and shepherds, German shepherds. And kind of snidely, he asked me, ¿Quiere regresarse? Which means, do you want to see yourself out? I answered, no, señor. ¿Podría venir conmigo? Can you go with me? I said, estoy estúpido, pero no estoy loco. I'm stupid, but I'm not crazy. He took me out, ushered me to the gate, and when we got to the gate, by that way he was muttering to himself, ¿Cómo? How is this possible? You know, what happened here? And then as we got to the gate, Don Miguel put his hand on my shoulder and he says, I like you, in English. I like you. You have courage. You have courage. God must be with you. But don't be stupid. Listen to me. Whenever in this vecino, in this neighborhood, whenever you see a sign, beware of the dogs, beware of the dogs. I learned a lesson there. I don't know what happened to Don Miguel and his crew, obviously involved in high-class crime. I did not sit around as Jonah did to see what would happen. I got out of there. But I think I felt the way Jonah must have felt. I felt that my life had been returned to me. It was truly a dangerous situation, but probably not that unusual for pastors when they make calls in neighborhoods. They get themselves and find themselves in very, very serious, dangerous positions. You will be calling on people that you don't necessarily like, or people that living in a place that you don't really want to be. You will find yourselves in the midst confronted with wife beaters, alcoholics, coke pushers, pimps, prostitutes. It's not a cozy place to be these days, whether Nineveh or St. Louis or Miami or Lincoln, Nebraska. Some of us need more coaxing and convincing than others about this. Jonah's theology was fine, And may we have that same theological depth, that God wants the world to be saved and to come to hear the knowledge of the truth of Christ and his resurrection. What will it take to keep us on track? It takes a resurrection from the dead. Not only their resurrection from the dead, but yours and mine. Where does Jesus take people? He takes people to Jonah in the fish for 3 days, resurrected, and a man who proclaims God's grace, having come through all that. Jesus cites Jonah as the outstanding proclamation of what his ministry is all about. He also would go down to the grave 3 days and be raised again. But so must you. He takes us with him. He takes us down to the grave and together with him raises us. And he calls us to a ministry where we will take people to the same place, to the cross, to the grave. That will give us courage. That will give us the assurance that we're doing his bidding, that we are being faithful. That is what he desires. Not a call to comfort and luxury, but a call to the aches and pains and sins of this world. Yes, it involves you and me. It involves spiritual condition. It involves sin. But it involves people who have great courage. Courage in the face of danger. Not a stupid kind of courage, but a courage that comes from the conviction that God loves the world in his Savior, in our Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be praise and glory. Amen.